are Nissan, a Foursquare church in beautiful Colorado Springs. We love Jesus. We love each other. We are family. If you have any questions or prayer requests, you can always visit us simply by going to newsongcs.com. Thanks for joining us as Pastor Stephen Higdon shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Amen. Amen. My name is Stephen. I have the privilege of serving as the leader of this journey of our church, and we are so excited about what God is doing in our family. We like to call it a family more than a church. We had a great family day yesterday at the park. It felt like it was a park. It was just our campus outside, and we had a whole bunch of people here for Easter egg hunt. How many were here for that? That was a great day together. I have exciting news that we are going to have another Easter egg hunt today because we like to have fun. So if you want to be a part as an adult, I guess I can't say no. You can take a couple of eggs, but don't take too many away from the kids. If you don't have kids anymore, if they're too old, you don't have some little kid to go bum the candy from, do you? So grab one when we do this. So right after service, this whole field here will be a field of eggs, and we want you to come out and watch our kids and get some for yourself, too. We are a family, and I need to take a moment. I know this is Easter Sunday, and we want to get you out of here quickly today, but I want to remember a family in our church that I'm not happy with. And so that's and when we are not happy with someone, we discipline them right in front of everyone. And so Jim and Edna, would you come up here just for a moment? Give them a hand, I guess. Cynthia, would you come up with me? Jim and Edna have been part of this church for longer than us. We've only been here 6 months, and now they're moving. They think that God called them somewhere in Florida to a nicer weather. Yes. Yeah, you can boo. And so I just want to pray for you guys. I know this is your last day with us, or we do it next week, but pray that you change your mind. So don't laugh about that. That's not funny. It's not funny. Lord, we just love you today. We great season. I love Easter. I love Easter morning. And today I want us to consider someone that you might have heard of, and his name is Jesus. I don't think there's any better subject to talk about on Easter Sunday than Jesus. And the lens that I want to look at Jesus through is a different kind of lens than maybe you usually look at Jesus through. Because it is important that you know who Jesus... Oh, it preaches so good, doesn't it? I don't even have to have anything to say. You have to know who Jesus is to prove the validity of what Easter is about. Because if Jesus isn't who he said he was, then Easter doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I want us to look at it through the lens of maybe someone who doesn't follow Jesus. Maybe one of your friends, or maybe you yourself that are here today. And people have many reasons for not following Jesus. We have many reasons why maybe we just don't have time for him. Maybe he just doesn't interest us. If you look at some of our backgrounds, you would probably see that, oh, well, I can kind of see why you don't serve Jesus. Maybe some of your friends, you assume, I can't believe them. But look at their families. How were they raised? Look at the church they grew up in. Maybe their church gave them no reason to believe in Jesus. Look at their situations. Look at their problems. There's many reasons why people don't follow Jesus. It's called a Christian, but I like to call it a Jesus follower. And I think that many of us here would say, I get that, if we heard the stories. Because many of you, many of this in this church are made up of people who were turned off by church in the first place, and that's why you never came back. I've heard so many of you say, you know what? I left church, and I wasn't planning to ever come back, and then someone invited me, and now I'm back. And they realize church and Jesus aren't always synonymous with each other. Whatever the reasons, I want to remind you today that Jesus deserves your worship this morning, and if you're still searching, that Jesus might be worth following. I'm going to read a scripture to you. It's found in John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. On my Bible, it calls it the empty tomb. I love that. The one right before that is the burial of Jesus. I don't like that as much. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, not Mary, Jesus' mom, but Mary Magdalene, not Mary, there's a lot of Marys in the Bible, went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. I'm reading it in the New International Version. This is probably New King James. That's what I usually read out of. So they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where he is. I want to entitle today's message, if you're taking notes, or maybe it's just all up here, right? But I want to entitle it, Everything About Everything Changes. Lord, we just love you today. We don't say a prayer right now to talk to you, because you're with us. You're just a part of our service already. But we say a prayer to just pause for a moment. And we ask you that you get our ears in tune to what you have to hear, what you have to say to us, because we know that speaking isn't always, doesn't even have to be great for you to speak to us. So Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, and I pray that you would help me to say what you want me to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in church my whole life, like literally grew up in church. I've been in a church since I was zero, maybe, right? Maybe my mom birthed me at a church. I don't know. It was in Wichita, Kansas. My parents were pastors, and we were there for conferences at church and for revival services and for Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, Thursday nights, Tuesday morning prayer. Oh, man, we were there a lot. I have a lot of reasons why I shouldn't believe in Jesus, because there were some times, I don't know if you've been to a like a New Year's Eve service at church, at a traditional church, but we would have New Year's Eve, and it would last a year, would last from one year to the next, right? And always, and I would be so tired and bored, and I was just 7 years old or whatever, and then an old man would get up there and say, oh, bless God, because, you know, do you enjoy yourself tonight? Because this is what we're going to be doing forever in heaven. We're going to be doing the same thing. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so boring. My parents are very cool. They helped me to balance it all. And one thing that was not cool, and still maybe not cool for some of you, I'm not offending anyone by this, I just want to tell you, hear me out, was Halloween was just not something you're supposed to celebrate it at church. We called it harvest, or we called it hallelujah, right? Actually, our church called it hallelujah. We had a hallelujah party, and all it meant to me was, if we couldn't celebrate Halloween, it was less candy for me. It wasn't about the devil or anything like that. It was less candy. I didn't like that. And my parents would let us sneak out just for a little bit to get some candy. We would take off our Samson costume and our Moses costume, and we put on, my brother 1 year wore a Lazarus, so it worked. So it was like he was a mummy or something. And I put on my Marty McFly outfit, and we'd go out and we'd fill our pillowcase with candy, all the while knowing that, you know, if there's a house with the light off, this is the 80s I'm talking about here, or if the house was literally boarded up, the doors, sometimes that was, that you knew that was a Christian, and praise the Lord that they aren't reaching out to those children who need candy and want to put a smile on their face, right? And you could argue, send me an email, you know, I'm not talking about that, but To the average person, maybe a Jesus person, those Jesus people, maybe they don't give me candy, and maybe that would be a reason why someone wouldn't want to serve Jesus or be a Jesus follower, because they may think we're boring. But we're not boring. We're not boring. My parents taught me that. But today, I don't want to explain Jesus from a Jesus person, a Jesus people. They're not the right ones, because Jesus people will let you down. Have you ever let anyone down before, right? I'm not going to convince us, or if I was to talk to a neighbor, I wouldn't convince them by saying, well, look at the church. The church is so great. The church is so awesome. I wouldn't convince them by that, because the church probably can let us down too. I wouldn't even use Halloween or New Year's Eve service to teach them that Jesus is good, because they might think that he's boring and he's not. I would start with one single event, and Jesus is worth following because of one single event. And that one single event, you guys know what it is the resurrection. I will start there, and I will explain it to them that way. I wouldn't even use the Bible necessarily. I would, but I wouldn't, because the Bible really was written 200 years after Jesus rose from the dead. People, eyewitnesses, people that saw it, passed it on to their friends, passed it on to their kids, passed it on. 200 years later, finally, the Bible got put together, and then they took the Old Testament that had been there a while. It wasn't the Old Testament. It was just the Hebrews Bible, and they put them together and they put leather on it and they called it the Bible. And that's great. And yes, we use the Bible, but we really just use the eyewitnesses that were there that day. Because if they didn't see it with their own eyes, it wouldn't have carried on from there. The resurrection did happen, but let me give you some context before the resurrection happened. We talked on Good Friday, and we talked on Palm Sunday and the week before Palm Sunday about how the people were so confused. I think you would be confused too if you were back in those days when Jesus was around. I think maybe you would have been confused. I want to ask you, I don't know, would you have known what Jesus was really doing? The people thought Jesus was coming to start a war, that he was coming to town. They were waving their palm branches. They thought he was going to free them from the hand of the Romans, right? That was not his plan. It was way bigger, way bigger, way bigger. And Jimmy, would you have known what the real big plan was? You probably wouldn't have. You probably wouldn't have. None of us would have. And now we have the privilege of knowing the whole story, but they didn't. And Jesus started getting really popular. He started doing miracles. He preached really good. He would talk to the church people, and he would tell them, you're going to go to hell if you don't change the way you're acting. It was causing an uprising, and the religious leader said, if we don't stop this right away, the whole world is going to end up believing in him. How true that was. And so they tried to stop it with the crucifixion. And we all know that the death of Jesus was not enough to hold him down. Amen. Because 3 days later, he rose from the dead. But before he rose, he got put in a tomb. And probably someone bribed Pilate and said, would you let us bury him, because he was important to us. Because usually when they would take him off the cross, they'd throw him in a ditch, they'd throw him outside the city, they'd just let everyone see him. It would just be such a dishonor. And for some reason, Jesus got to be buried, which made it way more dramatic when the stone rolled away. Amen. But he was buried. And one thing happened, and this is, if you forget a lot of what I said, remember this. One thing happened when he was buried. Everybody stopped following Jesus. Every single person, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mary, even his brother James, who believed he was the Son of God. They thought he was the Son of God, but they all stopped following Jesus, because Jesus had claimed way too many things about himself and made himself look like a liar, a crazy man, not who he said he was. He didn't look like that. There's an 80s song that I like, that if you were a church kid in the 80s, you liked a band or a singer named Carmen. And I get made fun of for it. My brother even made fun of me when I would listen to Carmen, but I listened to him on the way here today, and it was the song, The Champion, right? And it's all about how Jesus is beat up in like a boxing match, and then instead of counting 1, 2, 3 up to 10 that it's over, God started counting by saying 10. And the devil said, wait a minute, you're counting wrong. Let me tell you, the disciples were not like all huddled up in a room and saying, okay, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our propitiation, to remove the wrath. We are forgiven. I just can't wait until he does the last part. He's going to rise from the dead. Okay, watch the clock. 10, 9, 8. Oh, it's almost 3 days. No, even though he told them, the disciples had no idea. Easter morning was not a day of anticipation. Easter morning was a day of sadness. And this is where we take up the story. And I'm almost finished. I just want to tell you one eyewitness. She was going to the tomb that I just read to you, Mary Magdalene, John chapter 1, John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. She went to the tomb early on the first day. Let's pick it up at chapter 11. Chapter 11, and I'll look at the screen to read it with you. It says, now in chapter 11, Mary, or chapter 20, verse 11. I'll read it here. Now Mary stood outside. Oh, here it is. But Mary stood outside by the tomb crying. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet. We're all like, yes, the angels are there. That means Jesus. We know the story. She did not. She saw the angels there. She was confused. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away Jesus. I don't know where he's at, where they've laid him. Now Jesus said to, now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Oh, hi, Jesus. How are you? And did not know it was Jesus. This is an eyewitness account. This is the way she probably told it to John, who wrote this. And maybe she was saying it funny, like, you know, I said I didn't know who he was. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener. I thought he was the gardener. I didn't know. Maybe that's how she said it. And sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. She knew he was dead. She just wanted to honor his body. She just wanted to help. She knew that two men took him to the tomb, and she knew that probably they didn't do a good job, and so she thought she had to do it. Jesus said to her, Mary. And at that, you know, he said her name. And that made her remember. Jesus says all of our names. I bet we could preach a sermon on that. But at that moment, when Jesus said your name, when Jesus said my name, maybe quietly, maybe in my heart, maybe I didn't hear him audibly at 8 years old. But yes, I knew Jesus died on the cross. I knew he rose from the dead. But it didn't mean anything until I believed it, until I understood it. At probably more like 7 years old, I understood it. Somehow I did. I remember sitting in my bedroom where my mom was praying for me, and I understood that Jesus said my name. He cared about me, and he cares about you. And he loves us, and he's alive. And at that moment, everything about everything changed. There in Jerusalem and all over the nation and nations, other places, because the word spread, Jesus is actually alive. Jesus is actually alive. He had claimed too many things, and if he was dead, everything is over. But because he's alive, everything changes about everything. Because now, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He said, I am the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, which that tells me, now that I believe in him, everything about everything changes. I sat in a church, probably 8 years ago or so, and my father-in-law had passed away suddenly without warning. He died of a heart attack. And it was, I remember sitting in the service just crying uncontrollably. But I had a knowledge that I would see him again in heaven. Everything changed about everything. Even death could not take away my hope, because Jesus broke the power of death. He became the resurrection for me. As a kid, and maybe as for you as an older person, you decided to serve Jesus and you made sacrifices for him. Why did you do that? Why did I, as a teenager, not go to parties and get drunk and get high and do things with girls I shouldn't do? Why didn't I do that? Because everything about everything changed when I know if Jesus is alive, he's watching me. He sees my faithfulness, and he is there to reward my faithfulness. And I experience the rewards of that because Jesus is not dead. He remembered me. He is alive. Your faithfulness, let me tell you this. We're finished. Someone come up and play some music. Your faithfulness matters to God. I'm looking for the watch, for my watch. Oh, there it is. Your faithfulness matters to God. What you do in life, I saw this movie. You've probably seen this movie as well. It's called The Gladiator. And he says, what you do in life echoes in eternity. I don't know if you've ever saw that movie, but that was a great line. And it's true. What you do in life, the way you live with your family, the way you show your kids how you live, the way that you conduct yourself in private when no one else is watching, echoes forever. Jesus sees it. That's depressing for us when we know that we're sinners, because, oh my God, help me. You've seen what I've done. Yes, he's seen it. And then, I know that's not good English, but he sent his son to pay the price for everything he saw that you've done. And he says, forgiven, 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 forgiven. Name the sin, I'll forgive it. Name the sin. Stamp, paid in full. I did it on the cross for you. And then I rose from the dead just to show you that I'm real. Jesus is alive and he is paying attention and notices, especially when it costs you something. When it doesn't cost you anything, he's probably like, you're boring. No, he doesn't say that, but I would. If I was God, I'd be like, you're boring. You're not doing anything for me. I created you, and now you're living on this earth. You're not helping anyone to know me. You're not helping anyone to find love. You're not doing anything good. You're, go away. No, God doesn't say that. He says, keep trying. I'm with you. I'm watching. I'm bless you. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for the moment to bless you. I'm not waiting for a moment to shoot a firebolt at you. I'm waiting for a moment to bless you. Just when is it? Where is it? I'm following you. When is it going to be? I'm going to follow you all the days of your life with blessing. Just serve me. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make your life better. If you haven't considered following Jesus, know the issue isn't church or the Christians you've met. The issue, it's good for me. This encourages me. Because sometimes you get discouraged and you're like, The issue is the resurrection that already happened. That's the issue. Remember, no matter what you think about what I've said today, there's one question I want you to ask yourself, and you decide for yourself what you decide you want to believe, because I know everyone wants to have everything their way, but yeah, you can. Think about it for yourself. What do you believe about this? Who is Jesus? Choose to believe or choose not to believe. Is he a liar? Is he a fool? Was he just a great teacher? On Easter, the question was answered for me, for my family, the answer for Cynthia, the answer for many of you. It was answered once and for all. Jesus is exactly, in all the confusion of the world where I don't understand why this happens, Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. He's Savior. He's Deliverer. He's the Son of God. He's the Friend of Sinners. He's the King. And he's the one that deserves my worship. Probably your worship. Would you bow your heads with me? I don't want to give a big converting prayer today. You're going to hell if you don't serve Jesus. But I just want to ask you today to be honest. Not even with God. Just talk to Jesus. And Jesus will be there for you. He's not your homie. He's not the man upstairs. He deserves to be respected, but he's your friend. Talk to him and you say, Jesus, are you real? Would you show yourself to me? Be real to me. And I'll give you my life. Jesus, we are so thankful that you are alive today. We are so thankful that we don't serve a dead Savior. It'd be such a waste of time. We love you, Jesus. You deserve my worship. If you would say that with me, that he deserves your worship, would you stand? And then the rest of you, quickly right after, you can stand too. I don't want anyone to feel left embarrassed. Jesus is there for us. There is a song that we sang as kids. My daughter will not know the song. She may not even like the song. I played a whole bunch of songs on the way here today to church. They're on my playlist and they're playing outside, so make sure to take note. They're good ones. And she made fun of all of them. But this one, you got to sing on Easter. And it's called Christ the Lord is Risen Today. I'll do you the favor of not singing in the microphone.